All right, good morning, everybody. Today is Friday, June 12th, 2015. And this says, before the first cup of Jules here on UCY.TV, we made it. Happy Friday. It is 67 degrees, very overcast, and it looks like we're going to get some pretty mega storms today. They are predicting 80 in severe storms, so that should be fun. I'm just waiting with my headphones on, so if I have to pull them off and run quickly, it means that I got zapped. Probably won't happen, though. So where do we leave off from yesterday? We titled the show yesterday, Anonymity is Deader Than a Doornail. And it is, for anyone who believes that you could still hide on the web or do things without, especially the feds, knowing who you are. I mean, it's never been anonymous in the past, but they didn't necessarily exercise their rights to find out who you are. But we read a couple stories right toward, well, actually, we did a whole bunch of the show on it, but we did a couple stories toward the end that actually looked at Reason.com and some comments that were made to the Ross Ulbricht story with him being convicted to life in prison with no parole, and someone had put threats, not threats, but let's say trolley comments about the judge in the comment section to the story, and now they are subpoenaing Reason.com for the IP information, and they want to track those people down, threatening a judge, quote unquote, threatening a judge carries with it a sentence of up to 10 years in federal prison. So it will be interesting because remember, anything that goes through the court sets precedent, and it'll be definitely a case we need to watch. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that happened overnight, which always happens. And a lot of these stories are updates to stuff we've been talking about for the last week or two. One that we talked about yesterday and we've been pounding on for a while is how we have all of these agencies that we're paying bazillions of our tax dollars to keep us safe. And of course, none of them are keeping us safe. The newest one was about the federal hack into the personnel department of the federal government. The original story had come out and said that hackers, and of course, remember now, just like ISIS and pathogens that are going to kill you, we now have hackers under every bed as well. Oh my God, it's getting crowded. Yes, so we have all these hacks, and I think last week, wasn't it, the IRS got hacked, and the week before that, wasn't it, like, Social Security? I don't know. It's like, all these agencies are being hacked, so I guess all of the bazillions of tax dollars that these feds spent on their IT infrastructure was just a waste of space as well. We also found out, I haven't seen any updates on that anthrax story, but I didn't look yesterday. All that anthrax being shipped globally over the last who the hell knows how many years that never was properly deactivated by the DOD. And before that, the CDC. We found out that DOD employees between 2013 and 2014 blew, was it $1 million or $1 billion? I think it might have been $1 million. Couldn't have been $1 billion. Though, you know, we toss billions around like they're nothing. I think it was $1 million on porn, strippers. Actually, it was strippers and gambling. So your tax dollars at work. At the very end of the show yesterday, though, we ended it with Obama coming out saying that cyber attack attempts will accelerate. Of course they will. Be afraid, be very afraid, as the FCC took control of the internet this year. Cyber attacks are everywhere. Don't think, of course, that this doesn't have an agenda, because of course it does. Anonymity will be gone. Federal control of everything you do, everything you say, and pre-crime. We looked at Google and their new Google Knowledge Library or whatever they were calling it. We're going to go back to looking at Google today, because it's all a part of the same machine, though it doesn't seem like it. you're starting to see the puzzle pieces get closer and closer together, and it completely makes sense. Here, let's listen. We only listened to the first, like, 5 seconds of Obama with his cyber attack attempts accelerating. Let's hear that whole clip, and then we'll continue from there as to the newest news with the federal breach.
We have known for a long time that there are significant vulnerabilities and that these vulnerabilities are going to accelerate as time goes by. Both.
What, like having Windows XP on all the banking computers right as Microsoft discontinues all support for it?
In systems within government and within the private sector.
And, you know, how convenient that Obama just inked, I don't even remember if it was an executive order, executive action, a bill, what the hell it was. But there was something a month or two ago where he inked it that pretty much, and it was some acronym, CISPA, was it? I don't know. We'll have to look that one up. I don't freaking remember. There's just so many and they come so fast. But he inked something like a month or two ago that said, yes, private and federal partnership is the way this is going to go. It was right as our Microsoft Cyber Patrol Center is ramping up and they're chomping at the bit. We're going to get the corporations are now going to become, under the guise of cybersecurity and keeping this nation safe, they're going to become the eyes and ears for the NSA, the CIA, the FBI, where everyone's pointing a finger and going, hey, that's foul, right? We had the section of, wasn't the NDAA, was it? Yeah, NDAA, Patriot Act, whatever it was that just expired, and they put through the Freedom Act that pretty much said the same thing. You know what? It's just moving now the onus from the alphabet agencies to the corporation. So as you heard him say, it's not just going to be federal. Here, we'll play that one more time. It's both federal and corporate.
Within government and within the private sector.
There you go.
This is why it's so important that Congress moves forward on passing cyber legislation, cybersecurity legislation that we've been pushing for.
Of course.
The problem is that we've got very old systems. And
now, excuse me, but I worked in IT for 20 plus years and I was an engineer. We sold to the federal government. Okay, old systems. How old? I mean, within the last few years, these guys spend bazillions of dollars on federal contract equipment, okay? It is the fact that they are a bunch of incompetent idiots that are running this government from top to bottom, every agency. That's all that's apparent to me. All this news that we cover on a daily basis, it's absolute, utter incompetence. No one's in charge of the store. They're more worried about blowing the taxpayer dollars on hookers and booze and gambling. Whoops. I just get so angry when I see the same game over and over again. If you look under the covers, you're just going to see how completely broken it is. But if you listen to idiots like this, you're going to be like, oh, all right, well, we better spend more money because now the cyber hackers are going to get us all.
And, you know, we discovered this new breach in OPM.
Yes, we discovered, and it comes out in a later story we're going to look at, that this breach has been going on for about a year at least.
Precisely because we've initiated this process of inventorying and upgrading these old systems to address existing vulnerabilities.
Yeah, you know what they did, if you remember correctly, and I think I even did a story on it, all of the tech giants, right when Obamacare debacle was happening, remember when that whole website bombed and they found out she stole code and that chick that was in charge of it lost her job over it, right? But they rolled it all out anyway. And all the tech giants met at the White House. And I remember I called that out very particularly, and I did a story on Antimedia about it because I was like, what? Why on earth? I mean, I've been in this industry since it first started. I don't ever remember a public meeting with all the CEOs and the big boys from all the big tech companies meeting with Obama at the White House. And that, I mean, any president, any sitting president. Tech, we were the underbelly, okay? Tech was never seen as important. And when he brought them all to the White House, and then he hits up one of the Microsoft guys to maybe, like, give him a hand on fixing the Obamacare debacle, which, by the way, you haven't heard anything about at all in the last week. What, close to a year? I don't think I've heard squat on that as to where any of that's going. This is just unbelievable. All right, I'm going to stop and we'll play the rest of this.
And what we are doing is going agency by agency and figuring out what can we fix with better practices and better computer hygiene by personnel.
Wonder who he's got in there, which tech agency. Wonder if it's Microsoft that's working directly. Probably Microsoft, Cisco, I would think. I don't know who they're even using for PCs anymore. The feds all used IBM ThinkPads and IBM computers. They were all on federal contract. That's what we used to sell them. And, you know, it's interesting, too, because Lenovo, which I believe is a Chinese company, purchased the IBM desktop portion of the business, and there was question way back when saying, you know, maybe we shouldn't be using now Chinese origin products, and I thought that was a rule. I thought the feds had to actually buy American-made products with tax dollars, and then there was some question, well, transistors are made all over the world, so maybe they found a loophole, but I'd be very interested as to what manufacturers' desktops are being purchased right now.
This is going to be a big project, and we're going to have to keep on doing it because both state and non-state actors are sending everything they've got at trying to breach these systems.
And he's talking about state and non-state, not like United States states. He's talking about state as in government-sponsored hackers, Russia, China. I think this newest one, they're trying to blame on China again, which is possible. China probably has a lot of smart hackers out there, and I'm sure they're snagging as much information as they can as we put sanctions against Russia and start screwing with all these other countries. I'm sure that that's a way to give them a big middle finger, F you. But on the other hand, and non-state, of course, would be groups like quote-unquote Anonymous and Little Johnny Hacker in Ukraine or Latvia, Bavaria. You know, we actually had our own, I think he was a Latvian hacker way back when I had my own division and ran the web division of a company that was where our little Romanian, maybe that's where he was, the little Romanian hacker that we caught. We didn't catch him, but we gave him a hard time for the entire weekend. He was trying to hack our systems. We thwarted his every step. It was pretty great. But anyway, you know, he's saying we're going department by department and we're looking at all this. What? As each one gets hacked, I mean, they're like picking off federal departments with hacks on a weekly basis here.
We're going to have to be much more aggressive, much more attentive than we have been. And this problem is not going to go away. It is.
And does it make you feel safe that the military, the DOD, and DARPA are all working on these autonomous unmanned aerial vehicles with explosive and incendiary devices to detect and kill from the sky? It sure makes me feel safe. So we have all these vulnerabilities and all this old equipment, yet you're spending bazillions of dollars and all this crazy, like, take over the world freaking technology. Yeah, you're telling me that your base systems are holier than thou?
Going to accelerate. And that means that we have to be as nimble, as aggressive, and as well-resourced as those who are trying to break into these systems.
Yes, nimble. Oh my God. Who wrote that speech? So anyway, Obama says cyber attacks are going to accelerate. So look out, people, because clampdown is coming. Didn't, what was her name? Manit Napolitano. She was warning about attacks on the infrastructure, power infrastructure grids, the electrical plants, the nuclear reactors, and they were going to be upgrading all those SCADA systems. I haven't seen anything about any upgrades there. So it'll be interesting what the next apocalyptic attack that's coming in our future is going to be, because don't think that they're not setting that shit up, because they most certainly are. But I think it is way more than hack attack. We're going to see some pretty nasty stuff coming. All right, let me go forward here. Here's one that came out. So that was from this morning. Here's one that came out yesterday from ABC News. And I don't think there's a clip here. There's just a story. The Office of Personnel Management, this is this federal office, is far deeper than publicly acknowledged. And it went undetected. Yes, it did. For more than a year, say sources. The massive attack. Oh, wait, there may be a video. Up. Stop. It is the press secretary. I don't even know his name. There's been so many of them in this administration, but here he comes out and he talks about it.
We are concerned that this could, again, based on an early review of what's transpired, could potentially have affected more than 4 million federal employees.
Yeah, now 4 million was the original story. Just wait, it gets way better.
We've also been blunt about the fact that we know that the Office of Personnel Management maintains sensitive data and sensitive information about federal employees. It's, again, the precise scope of what, how much, and what type of data has been exfiltrated is something that, again, continues to be investigated. There are certain elements.
Wait, didn't we just hear this in the DOD press conference? It's continuing to be investigated. It's going to get bigger. Now, originally, it was just 4 million, up to 4 million, and Social Security numbers, just like it was only, I don't even remember the numbers, 19 labs in the United States, and it turned into like 56 labs in four countries, and it's going to get bigger.
The investigation that we are reluctant to talk about publicly, because the disclosure of some pieces of information could inhibit the ongoing investigation. And so I think we certainly are being cautious in terms of what information we are communicating, but we've also been pretty direct about living up to our commitment to make sure that we're communicating directly with those that need to be notified about a potential breach of their sensitive data.
And wow, and I heard a story this morning that said that there's a bunch of people that they can't identify. I don't know, I'm assuming from the context of the story, it was almost like they had left employment a long time ago, and whether they moved and now they can't find them or whatever. But this is the feds. Shouldn't the feds be able to find anyone, especially a former employee? Shouldn't you be keeping tabs on people that worked for the federal government? It is like the comedy of errors here, and it gets just so disgustingly bad. These people are a bunch of buffoons.
And this is walking a fine line. I would acknowledge that as well.
If working in a corporation, it had been this absolutely ridiculously broken, you would have been long ago fired and out on the street with a really, really bad future work review that you'd never work again, especially in my industry. All right, so it gets even better. Here's the news from this morning.
This morning, there are fears that a massive data breach at the federal government could be much worse than first thought. Oh. CBS News has learned that millions more at risk of having their personal information compromised. Federal workers were the apparent targets. Jeff Pagase is in Washington with the status of that investigation. Jeff, good morning to you.
Good morning. The number is staggering. A law enforcement source confirms that investigators now suspect Chinese hackers may have compromised the personal data of up to 14 million people. That's more than three times what investigators originally thought. The story
14 million. And in a story that I read early hours of this morning said all federal employees were compromised.
And data includes information about current and former government employees, including Social Security numbers. We've also learned that even law enforcement and intelligence agencies like the FBI and CIA had data compromised.
Oh, no. You know, I don't know, guys. I mean, I hear this stuff, and especially having been on the inside of the industry for many years, this just, it makes me actually kind of smile. Because it's just so completely ludicrously ridiculous that our federal government was just so... Where's all the equipment that we sold these assholes? Where's all I can't even think of the word, consulting that came along? Do you know how many federal contractors there are in the IT space nationwide? Everyone purports to be an expert. And, I mean, you can even get, like, intrusion detection. You can order. You can buy intrusion detection software. You can have a professional agency probe your entire network from the outside in, find all your holes, and then you can fix them. You mean to tell me we're spending bazillions on bombs and bazillions on curing diseases in other countries that aren't even problems much anymore in different places? I don't know. We're blowing all this money, yet we didn't take care of anything at home. Nothing. Our entire infrastructure, according to them, is falling apart. And again, you know, I might be laughing at this, but there's always the alter agenda. They're going to lock down on everything, biometrics to get online, so we can prove that we're good little citizens and none of us are the bad guys. Hey, this is funny on one sense, but this is really, really freaking bad on the other side, because here it comes. This is the hammer.
There is an ongoing assessment of exactly how much was exposed and whether the cyber attack has actually ended. In a
statement, they don't even know if it's ended. Oh my God.
The Office of Personnel Management says OPM and the incident response team currently have no indication of malicious activity or an adversarial presence.
Phew.
Investigators are still sweeping for signs of an intrusion, but acknowledge that it will take a long time to make a full and accurate assessment. Gail?
Now, here's the other question. So, all right, this is all federal employees have been compromised, and whatever private information that they didn't want to necessarily tell you beyond Social Security number was taken has been taken, apparently. But what about all, if the FBI and the CIA... Notice they didn't mention the NSA. And wait, isn't the former head of the NSA, Keith Alexander, part of some cyber security company that tries to make you safe? I believe he is, because didn't he offer his services for like $1 million a month to JP Morgan Chase just a few months back? And just before they got hacked and they told him to go screw off and then they got hacked? Yes, yes. That same Keith Alexander. But here's the thing that concerns me. How about all of the private information they have about you and me stored on those federal computers somewhere, whether it be at the NSA data center in Utah or who the hell knows where else? How much of that information has been compromised? I don't know. Good question, Jewel.
So, Jeff, some of the victims of this cyber attack haven't even been notified yet, true?
Well, that's right, and that's the other problem. And OPM.
Oh, but the other guy, the chief of staff or chief of whatever, the speaker for the White House said that they've all been notified. They're contacting all of them.
Spokesman says that there is a group of people that they don't have updated contact information for, but they are trying to identify and notify those people.
Oh yeah, okay. Well, that takes a lot of heart. How can the feds not know who these people are or where they are or how to contact them?
All right, Jeff Begay's reporting from Washington. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have gotten so hyped out about that story, but it's coming. This, don't think that there's just every week there's something else. There's another cyber attack on some federal agency where there's some massive breach. And right before that, remember, it was bang, 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 bang. It was Target. It was JP Morgan Chase. It was I don't know. Was HSBC involved in one of them? It were all these other entities, the biggest breach ever. Don't forget about that. That now it's coming down to the feds. So now we have to make some sort of executive action to keep you all safe. And of course, what's happening right now? Oh, what? The TPP, they're getting ready to maybe pass the fast track today. Yes, they are. If you give me one second, I can. There was a... I just had to remember what page I put it on. There was a story just before I went on air that came out of RT. Here we go. And the here's the best part. The Republicans are the ones that are backing this fast tracking on TPP. And they're like, what? Why would they be backing the Democratic president? Not that any party has any meaning of anything anymore. But just remember, the Republicans are all very well invested in these international corporations and screwing you to make their dollars on the stock market. So, of course, they would be the ones backing. I'm sure the Democrats are too, but I'm sure that the Republicans have more than skin in the game just because they purport themselves to be the rich guys with all the connections.
With friends like these, who needs enemies? Republicans are on the Hill backing President Obama on the Trans-Pacific Partnership, while his own party, by and large, are dissenters on the bill. RT's Manila Chan was on the Hill and spoke to a group of protesters camping out in hopes of getting Congress on board in defeating the TPP. The party that usually refers to President Obama as a king, a dictator, or socialist are now apparently his only friends when it comes to the TPP. The Trans-Pacific Partnership Fast Track is expected to get a vote as early as today or possibly Friday afternoon, with Republicans playing the president's only allies. Most Dems on the Hill are opposed to the bipartisan effort, which some argue are little more than enhanced corporation powers being pitched as free trade. Even the president's closest friends from back home in Chicago, including fellow Democrat Senator Dick Durbin, along with all those other congressmen and women and senators, are not backing POTUS, all but one, that is.
And, you know, the thing is this TPP is not only going to put corporations in charge, but it's also going to clamp down on copyright laws internationally with big pointy teeth to come after you. You know, I had been reading, and who the hell knows, because remember, the TPP is quote-unquote classified, so we can't read it until they finally vote on it and pass something. But one of the things that I had read a while back is that they are looking, with the new copyright laws, to make a first offense a felony. Because they're saying that right now copyright laws don't have enough big pointy teeth.
Representative Mike Quigley is Chicago's only pro-trade deal House Democrat who's backing Obama on TPP. He's seen here aboard Air Force One with the president holding up a Chicago Blackhawks jersey, supporting the home team, of course, in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Besides Elizabeth Warren, who's been a staunch opponent to the bill, now Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders is joining in on the debate, calling the president out on this secretive deal, which portions have been leaked to the press, all of which are unconfirmed. Sanders put out this top 10 list of why the TPP is bad for America and must be defeated, calling it a race to the bottom. In it, he cites things like outsourcing tens of thousands of jobs, allowing corporations to challenge our laws, food safety standards dropping, and something that affects everyone, the cost of health care would be impacted.
Yeah, you know, corporations being able to sue, jobs getting sucked out, also not putting country of origin on your food or having to put all the ingredients is definitely a concern. There was a little blurb here, though, that I thought she was going to read, and she didn't. It says on the screen, prescription drug prices will also increase, which we read about that the one day. Access to life-saving drugs will decrease, and that was the pharmaceutical companies trying to deny generic drugs for 20 years, I thought it was, instead of whatever it is now. But they want only life-saving drugs to get in the hands of rich people is pretty much what it came down to. And the profits, this says, and the profits of drug companies will go up. Well, of course, the biopharma institution is running the show right now. And we're going to look at some of that as well. It says big pharmaceutical companies are working hard to ensure that the TPP extends the monopolies they have for prescription drugs, extending their patents, which currently can last 20 years or more. So, yeah, it was 20 years. I mean, this is pretty bad shit. So with all this other distraction going on, we are getting cyber attacked left, right, and sideways by these countries that are a part of the axis of evil. Of course, today it was China, tomorrow it'll be Iran, and the next day it'll be Russia. All right, so let's, speaking of biopharmaceuticals, we've been talking about the DOD and this whole anthrax debacle and it getting bigger every day and them shipping the shit out for 10, 15, 20, who the hell knows how many years, using a faulty method that never killed it appropriately. And how, interestingly enough, there was a story from a year ago that we looked at from the CDC doing the same thing. Well, I dug up an article yesterday that was about that original CDC story, and I can't even believe that the conclusion the CDC came to a year ago was exactly the conclusion that they're coming to now with this whole DOD debacle, that the anthrax was never properly killed. I mean, they knew that already a year ago, but there were never any changes made. So now this is like, this is a whole brand new issue, but it really isn't. So here comes a story on the heels of all this. And we saw a story about North Korea last week, where North Korea was accusing the United States of using all of these never before seen germs that are out there. And that was in regards to this big MERS outbreak now that's going on in South Korea. North Korea was saying that the United States was actually trying to surround it with bioterror pathogens. Well, check this out. So a story comes out of RT yesterday about something Russia is claiming. Russia's claiming that the U.S. is encircling Russia with bioweapons labs and covertly spreading them, per the Russian foreign minister. Ding, ding. Now there's two countries coming out and accusing us of the very same thing. The U.S. is obstructing international efforts to eradicate biological weapons. Wow, haven't we been saying this for 6 months now? That's what it absolutely seems like to me. And when we dug into the history of bioweapons and our supposed quote-unquote ending of the bioweapons program between 69 and 72 by Richard Nixon, and going on the defensive by creating vaccines, that we never really ended anything. Plum Island never ended, and though we did it under the guise of trying to protect against others' bio warfare against us, we had to have those pathogens to begin with to even think that we were going to make any type of quote-unquote vaccine. And I accuse them, and many others have accused them, of never ending the program. Just take a look at things like his Lyme and all these new, like we've seen, these tick-borne viruses with no cure. And oh, by the way, they kill you and they're spreading rapidly through the woods. Never before seen, though. We don't know where they came from. Anyway, back to the story. The U.S. is obstructing international efforts to eradicate biological weapons, seeking to involve other nations covertly in research of weaponized diseases, Moscow has charged. America's record of handling bioweapons is poor. Well, you'd think, as per this most recent debacle with the DOD, it says the accusations of mishandling biological weapons voiced by the Russian foreign minister referred to the most recent report that the U.S. military shipped live anthrax by mistake. Last week, the Pentagon admitted sending samples of the highly dangerous disease to at least 51 labs in 17 states and 3 foreign countries. And I believe that's gone up. I thought it was 64 labs and now 4 foreign countries, Canada, Australia, South Korea, and the UK. The delivery, quote, posed a high risk of outbreak that threatened not only the U.S. population, but also other countries, including Canada and Australia. And of great concern is the shipment of bacteria to a U.S. military facility in South Korea. It added that an anthrax outbreak incident occurred in 2001, which also involved a U.S. military lab. And it did. That was where they traced the original anthrax that went into the letters that were shipped out, that I think killed like 5 people. They traced it back to military lab anthrax. For Russia, such incidents are of particular concern because one of its neighbors, Georgia, hosts a research facility for high-level biohazard agents. The Richard G. Lugar Center for Public and Animal Health Research near Tbilisi is an undercover American bioweapons lab. Oh no, did Russia just out us? A branch of the Walter Reed Army Institute of Research, Russia believes. American and Georgian authorities. Now, Georgia was the one country that went up against Putin, didn't they? Back quite a number of years back, and Putin brought his tanks in there. And we were kind of backing. It was almost like the stick the toe in the water test like we're having now in Ukraine, where we tried to get behind them and say that they were a part of the Western, I don't know if they were actually NATO allies and inked on or not, but we most certainly were standing on one side and Russia was standing on the other. American and Georgian authorities are trying to cover up the real nature of this U.S. military unit, which studies highly dangerous infectious diseases. The Pentagon is trying to establish similar covert medico-biological facilities in other countries in Russia's neighborhood, the Russian ministry said. Those are some pretty strong fighting words. Moscow says that the U.S. is de facto derailing international efforts under the Biological and Toxin Weapons Convention, a 1972 international treaty aimed at eradicating biological weapons worldwide. Yes, that's the treaty that Nixon was signatory to. Quote, the U.S. administration is obviously not interested in strengthening this convention. It's known that in 2001, the U.S. unilaterally torpedoed multinational talks in Geneva to work on a verification mechanism for the BWTC, which is the Biological and Toxin Weapons Convention, and have since obstructed their restart. So we have not been in talks since 2001, apparently. Decades of international efforts to strengthen the convention were derailed, the statement said. The Russian Foreign Ministry's indictment comes amid a wider list of accusations against the U.S. over what Moscow sees as an American violation of various international agreements dealing with weapons control, non-proliferation, and disarmament. And, you know, don't forget that RT News is sponsored by the Kremlin directly, so a lot of their money comes direct from Putin's own budget. So remember, they're always working reverse propaganda. But on the other hand, RT News also exposes a lot of the bullshit that they don't want us to know about here. So take it for what it is. I do appreciate the fact that they come out with scathing stuff like this at times, because this is exactly what we've been saying. And it kind of proves to me that we're not actually lunatics, as our friends and family call us, that we've actually been onto something for a long time. And if you take a look at, you know, what, Saudi Arabia now thinks that for bombing the being our little tinker toys and running to bomb Yemen because we told them to, that Saudi Arabia is now going to get their hands on nuclear weapons, that that's not stopping nonproliferation? Or allowing Israel to have nuclear weapons but not be part of the nonproliferation agreement? That's not nonproliferation. Or what about Pakistan? Pakistan developed their own nuclear weapons, but they never inked any of the nonproliferation agreement either. Or allowing India now to get uranium from Australia after they'd been banned for many, many years. Hey, why not start the Cold War in Central Asia and the Middle East, pointing nuclear weapons at each other? Maybe they'll just hang themselves and blow each other up. I mean, come on. So I have to say, in that case, Russia's absolutely right in their accusations. All right, back to the story, last paragraph. This statement came in response to a U.S. annual report on the issue, which accused Russia of various wrongdoings. Moscow, so, you know what, we accuse them of a bunch of stuff, and Russia comes back and goes, zingo, we're going to give it right back to you. Moscow considers such reports, quote, megaphone diplomacy, unquote, and such tactics aren't aimed at resolving any differences. No, they're absolutely right. But instead, supports America's pretense to be the ultimate judge of other nations' behaviors, the ministry said. I think, didn't Ahmadinejad do a very similar thing back when we were accusing him of being the axis of evil and creating nuclear weapons over there? And Ahmadinejad came out and made some comment during his speech saying, yeah, 9/11 was an inside job. It was awesome. I just don't believe anything they're telling us. It is all a bunch of lies. I have already had two shows in the last 6 months that were titled Lies, 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 because everything is lies. all manufactured, alter reality, and people just eat it up like it's a dopamine producing, I don't know, high fructose corn syrup. All right, so now I touched very briefly on this yesterday at the beginning of the show. Yes, there are more cases of MERS spreading all across South Korea. There were some quarantines going on. The WHO is also warning that Ebola is rising again in two African states. So now that these biotech companies, probably six of them, I believe, six or seven, all have vaccines that are all starting human trials, now they're getting ready to go to market. So now's the time to kick that Ebola back up again and get people lining up. I see now, too, there was a story that came out yesterday about California lawmakers. It's really getting through the legislative process now about them pushing mandatory vaccinations. And just as I say this, oh, looky, looky, Skype browser. Everything goes blank and locks. Hold on. Let's try this again. Oh, this web page is not available. Oh, well, you know what? It happens every day when I say certain words, and I think I said Iran one too many times, or bioterror today. So hold on. We'll have to go to the other machine that is not polluted. One more time. Come on. Come on, baby. Come on. All right, here we go. California lawmakers proposing stricter immunization laws.
Wow. California lawmakers approving a bill that would impose one of the strictest vaccination laws in the country. The law is moving forward despite pleas from parents who say the bill will eliminate personal belief exemptions for childhood vaccines. There was more pressure for the legislation after a measles outbreak at Disneyland.
Yes, that ruined Johnny's vacation.
In Mexico. Chief correspondent Jonathan Hunt, live in L.A. with that. Jonathan.
John, yeah, California is now just one legislative step away from introducing, as you said, one of the strictest vaccination laws in the country. It would also be one of the most controversial, as evidenced by the passions on display during, before, and after the debate at the state capitol. Now, the bill will remove personal belief exemptions for all children, although it would allow some medical exemptions. Vaccination opponents say the bill, by keeping their children out of schools, effectively strips them of the right to an education. Supporters say it's more about the rights of kids to be safe from disease. Listen here.
Of course, we do respect parents' rights, but there are other rights too. And what about the rights of those who are in the mainstream and who are vaccinated? What about their
rights? And I mean, we've looked at this so many times now. I mean, here's my first question. If your kid's vaccinated, then why the hell are you worried about it? Because doesn't, according to your beliefs, doesn't vaccination protect you? But on the other hand, we looked at anything that's been alive, attenuated. Is it attenuated or not attenuated? When it's a live virus, and especially the intranasal ones, they're not dead. And you shed the virus for 7 to 10 days after receiving it up your nose. And we looked at the debate with the bird flu, never before seen, worst outbreak ever. They're having this big debate even within the chicken industry, where they want now, they have a vaccination that they think is ready to rock and roll. And many of these farmers don't want it because they're saying that the vaccination could very potentially get non-vaccinated birds sick. Because why? That sheds the virus.
Rights to be protected.
Now, the bill's backers say the recent measles outbreak at Disneyland here in California shows the need for the lawmakers are overreacting, and they are swearing that they will keep fighting. Listen again.
The problem that gets created is subsidies aren't available. They aren't available for millions of Americans. They lose their insurance. It drives up costs in the individual market. To solve that problem...
Entirely wrong... Sorry. The bill now goes to the state assembly for a vote, and it could, John, become law before California's kids return from their summer break. John?
Yeah, we did have the wrong piece of sound there. That was played earlier in the program.
We Sylvia certainly Burwell. Did.
Sylvia Burwell testifying in front of a congressional committee. Jonathan, thanks for rolling with it. Jonathan Hunt in L.A.
All right. So, Jonathan, thanks for rolling with it. So just know that there, with all of these outbreaks going on, of course, remember they mentioned Johnny and being patient zero at Disneyland, and we're ruining all of those Disneyland vacations as the push for this mandatory vaccination bill for children. Remember, too, we had dug up that there's also a federal bill that is waiting on the plate for vote called Vaccinate All Children Act of 2015. So they are looking at doing this from a federal level. This vote in California and a yes vote is probably going to push that along quite well. It's always about precedent. And then there's also a standing order with doctor's offices for adults to get adults all their boosters. So don't think that this isn't, again, another big agenda that's going on. You know, something else I wanted to talk about, we looked at this, you know, not only do we have these never before scenes, but we have these, you know, extremely rare or very fatal diseases now, super bugs that are going around. We heard Sanjay Gupta yesterday talking about this patient that came out of India that has this rare form of tuberculosis that took a 15-hour flight and flew with all these other people who now, you know, 2-3 months down the line, they're trying to find because, whoops, she went to 3 different states and were exposed herself with this disease to all these different people. They now have her in isolation at the National Institute of Health. And he was downplaying how communicable this is, and he made some comment about, you know, it requires bad ventilation, and on airlines, you know, the ventilation's good. And I was like, what? Since when is recycled air on an airline good ventilation? I mean, people just believe anything anyone tells them. Well, hold on here, because let me turn off the Skype. A story came out yesterday afternoon after I did the show, and it's almost like they must feed me these stories based upon things I've said, because here we go. Out of Discover Magazine. How germy are planes? Out of the May 2015 issue. How germy are planes? Viruses and bacteria can persist on airplane surfaces for days, researchers say. And good old Gupta, who almost ended up being our Surgeon General but turned it down so he could keep his job at CNN and go fight Ebola and do brain surgery in Africa, he told us not to worry about it because planes have great circulation. I'm going to read a little bit of this story. Misconnections and lost bags might not be your biggest worry when traveling. Researchers have found that nasty, contagious bacteria can last for days on airplane surfaces. You know, I've always worried about just putting my head back on the headrest because, I don't know, I always see pictures of planes with those little, like, toilet seat things, the disposable headrest things, you know. But I've never been on a plane that had those. They never have them. So it makes me think about lice when I'm sitting on a plane. But even worse than that, check it out. James Barbary, a pathologist at Alabama's Auburn University, and colleague Kirill Vaglenov were curious about how long bacteria could last under typical air travel conditions. They applied smears of meth-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, which is MRSA, and virulent E. coli strain 0157:H7 to 6 airplane surface types, an armrest, a plastic tray table, a metal toilet seat button, a window shade, a seat pocket cloth, and leather, which were supplied to an unnamed major airline. What they found was disturbing. MRSA, and this is the resistant, like flesh-eating MRSA, lasted for 168 hours or 7 days on seat pockets where travelers reach for their magazines and store their iPads, while E. coli samples thrive for up to 4 days on armrests. So bring your Lysol wipes, people, next time you go on an airplane. Barbary and Vaclav rubbed pigskin on the tainted surfaces to mimic contact with human flesh, and they found that less porous surfaces, the more transmissible the bug. Bacteria survived longer, however, on more porous surfaces such as seat pockets, though they were much less transmissible than those on, say, a tray table. The researchers are now performing those same tests on Streptococcus pyogenes, which causes strep throat, and they are also testing cleaning agents that might help prevent bacterial stowaways. For now, Barbary says regular hand washing is probably the best way to prevent the spread of disease. Yeah. Like every time you touch the tray table, the seat pocket, the armrest, the toilet push button, or the window shade. God. He and his wife say now take alcohol wipes. He and his wife now take alcohol wipes with them on flights. And the next time you're waiting to get on a plane, ponder this. There are no, of course, there are no federal cabin cleaning regulations. Again, nobody is keeping you safe. But hey, Dr. Sanjay Gupta said that taking a plane is safe and drug-resistant tuberculosis is not a threat. But after 2 or 3 months, we are trying to find the people that sat next to her for 15 hours. Don't worry about it. Oh, my God. I don't know, people. It's just a big failure from start to finish. I think the human race is just a big, utter failure. How did all this happen? Nobody ever thought of any of this? I mean, I could be employed all day long at a big six-figure job just coming up with ways to get poisoned or be terrorized or, you know, different evil plans that we should probably take a look at to make sure that they don't happen. You mean to tell me that every organization doesn't have somebody who does that? Penetration testing, that's what it's called. Put yourself into the shoes of the evildoer to figure out all the things they might want to do and then protect yourself against it. I mean, isn't that just common sense? Oh, my God. But don't worry about it, because MIT News, this actually was a story dovetailing on something we looked at the other day about using flashes of light to fix the brains of Alzheimer's patients and help them retrieve memories that were thought to have been lost. Well, back in, I talked about some of these other research projects they've been doing. Yes, it's not just to retrieve memories for the poor Alzheimer's patients, which, by the way, Alzheimer's is exploding across the population and they're not quite sure why. They have 32 reasons why we could all be getting Alzheimer's and forgetting everything that ever meant anything to us throughout our entire lives. But hey, we have a treatment for that now. And it includes flashes of light direct to the brain, because our brain project is giving up all the brain secrets. Well, hey, don't worry about it, because in 2013, MIT used some of the same technologies to do other things that might cure you for those of us who don't lose our memories and remember all of the wrongdoing and the complete idiocy of all these different federal agencies who, I don't know, lost $15 trillion, $2.3 billion, spent a million on hookers and booze. Don't remember that stuff. Neuroscientists have, for the first time, planted false memories in the brain. Whew! So if your virtual reality doesn't do it for you, you can get it permanently fixed. MIT study also pinpoints where the brain stores memory traces, both false and authentic. The phenomenon of false memories has been well documented, and in many court cases, defendants have been found guilty based on testimony from witnesses and victims who were sure of their recollections, but DNA evidence later overturned the conviction. While in a step toward understanding how these faulty memories arise, MIT neuroscientists have shown, and yes, now it's all about trying to solve people giving false testimony, but really it's not all about that. MIT neuroscientists have shown that they can plant false memories in the brains of mice. Yes, they can implant false memories. Anyone Remember MK Ultra? This is the next step. They've also found that many of the neurological traces of these memories are identical in nature to those of authentic memories. I mean, DARPA's been doing this research for quite a number of years already. I'm sure that this MIT research is probably sprinklings of DARPA money, but there was a story back a year or two ago about DARPA having five or six different ways to not only implant false memories, but to find memories that have been hidden. Quote, whether or not a false or genuine memory, the brain's neural mechanism underlying the recall of memory is the same. The study also provides further evidence that memories are stored in networks of neurons that form memory traces for each experience that we have. Neuroscientists have long sought the location of these memory traces called engrams. Yes, and those were the same memory traces that they were working on to locate in Alzheimer's patients to unlock forgotten memories. In a pair of studies, Tiwanga and colleagues at MIT's Pitcairn Institute for Learning and Memory showed that they could identify the cells that make up part of the engrams for a specific memory and reactivate it using a technology called optogenetics. And that is the exact technology we were talking about yesterday, flashes of light after injecting a virus into that part of the brain that caused photosensitivity. I don't know. We're not really going to have a lot more time since we're down to the last minute or so of the show. But here's one last thing I want to end with. So we find out that the TSA has 73 employees that were potentially on the terror watch list. Well, hey, June 10th of 2015, dozens of Secret Service agents working at the White House without clearance. Yes, it gets even better. Dozens of Secret Security agents have reportedly been working in the White House without the appropriate security clearance after the Secret Service had to rapidly hire more staff following a string of embarrassing breaches. And those were fence jumpings and drone landings. I think the head of the Secret Service got reassigned, drunk driving incidences, at the CDC, they let someone without clearance get into an elevator with Obama, and they had a gun on them, but they hadn't been cleared to be near him. Some jumper got up the stairs of the White House, so they hired en masse, apparently, and didn't have proper clearance. Without clearance, you could share information by mistake. I trust everyone on my staff, says Republican Congressman Mark Meadows, but there are only a few with top secret clearance. Unbelievable. Staff that did not go through a lie detector test. Okay, last 10 seconds. It is Friday. Make sure you stick around. Anti-Tyranny News is up live at 6 p.m. The boys from Primer Time are on at 8, 9 o'clock. Truth on the Tracks, Brandon Turville replay. Daniela at 10, and Anti-Media with LaVon at 11. Make sure you stick around this weekend, too. Lots of great radio. Everyone have an awesome Friday.